This is my favorite Sunday of the year. I just love celebrating Jesus. I love every Sunday that we get a chance to. Man, I love Christmas. I love Easter. I love every Sunday of the year that we get a chance just to celebrate Jesus. Not celebrate, you know, some music or celebrate some message or celebrate Jesus, our risen Savior. And so I love these different services, Christmas, Easter, where we get a chance just to focus on it, just get our minds back focused on what is really important. I love traditions. I do. I really do. I'm a traditionalist at heart. And one of the things that we do around here that we've done probably 5 or 6 years now, that we have kind of as one of our victory traditions, is we take the one Sunday where everybody shows up, all right, where all of you come to church on one Sunday of the year, and we use it to take a survey, to get some feedback from you. And so let me just say this right now, all right, this is not some hidden gimmick. We're not trying to trick something out of you. This is something we really want to know. This is a service that we take, and we had some phenomenal feedback in the past that we've really used and really has been helpful to us. And so if you would, everybody, all right, everybody, take out the survey that was on your seat when you walked in today. All right, it just says Easter survey at the top. Go ahead and pull it out. Everybody pull it out. Maybe you tossed it on the ground. Maybe you sat on it. All right, if you sat on it, there are some extra ones on the ends of your row if you're already settled in and you can't find it. All right, everybody, so grab that out, little survey, would you would. All right, everybody participate. And we'd love to get some feedback from you. So the first question on here, it just says, I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about blank. All right, and we left some lines there. We'd love to hear from you, from things that you would like to hear. Let me explain that a little bit. And that is, I'm preparing our series topics, usually about 4 to 6 months out, and I'm praying and seeking God on what direction He wants us to go. But what we'd like to know is from you what it is that you want to know that the Bible says. What it is that you want to hear about in your thing. And I'll talk about the series where we're going next Sunday in just a couple of minutes. But that's what the first question is there. And by the way, there are free pens. Take those pens with you on your chair. You can take those with you after the service. And I'll talk about that in just a second. All right. But again, this is not a gimmick. I'm not trying to trick something out of you. We really want to know what you want to know about. All right. What you want to know what the Bible says about. And the second one says, I would most like to have a conference focused on blank. And so last year we had our first annual marriage conference called Ignite, and we learned a lot, had a great time, really awesome time together. We're doing that again this year in the summer, but we want to know from you what you would also like us to host a conference on. Well, what thing you would enjoy, whether it's on families or raising kids or whether it's on finances, whatever it is that you would like to have a conference on, let us know, and we'll do our best to make that happen. And the final one is actually probably the most important question on here, and that is there anything we can pray with you for? Is there anything that we can pray with you for? You saw the prayer cards in the foyer, and you can fill those out as well when you leave. We cover those in prayer during the week. But we just wanted to give you this chance on your seat just to write in. If there's something you're struggling with, we want to pray with you. We pray on Sunday mornings. We pray on Wednesday nights. We pray throughout the week with intercessors. We just want to cover your prayer requests with prayer. And so if you'd like that, go ahead and write that on there. And then at the bottom, you see A, B, C, D. We're actually going to come back to that at the end of the service. All right, and so you can kind of put that aside for now. And I do want to take a moment just before we get into the message today and kind of let you know where we're going next week, the series that we're going into. Because last month, we came out of a book study on the book of James. I really enjoyed going through it. I got a lot of good feedback from you guys about going verse by verse. You guys enjoyed the kind of book study format. So we'll do that again this year, probably in the book of Galatians a little later this year. But the next series that we're going into next week is called You Asked For It. And what we do is we take all those things that you're writing this morning in question number one, and we form a series around it. We answer the top four questions that you ask. And let me tell you why we're doing this, all right? This isn't because we ran out of things to talk about, and we just hope that you have something that we can talk about, right? It's not like we ran out of those things, but Jesus actually did this in his ministry where the disciples would say, teach us about prayer, and that's what he would preach on. Or they would say, teach us about the kingdom, or teach us about this, and Jesus would then teach on it. And so what we want to do is take your questions and then go to the Word of God and see what it says about it. So this isn't 4 weeks of self-help. This isn't 4 weeks of my opinion. This is taking the questions that you asked the most, you asked for it, and then looking in the Word of God for the answer to see what God has to say about it. And so I can't tell you what next week is going to be because I haven't read your cards yet. All right. But that's what next week's part one is going to be. And I just want to give you kind of a personal invitation to be a part of it. Now, here's something that I do every year. Again, a little tradition of mine that I like to do. And I just think it's funny is I also bring to you my favorite questions from the year before. All right, because we have been a little vague in how we've asked this question. And anytime you give a survey in church with blank lines on it, you never know what you're going to get back. And so some people don't even care about the question. They just see the blank lines. They want to write something. So I took my favorite ones from last year and I want to present them to you. All right, these are my favorite questions. But let me give you my favorite ones. Here's the first one. Have you thought about charging for the coffee in the foyer? About 200 of you caffeine infused individuals just took a deep collective breath. All right. No, we're not going to charge for the coffee in the foyer, all right, everybody? Drink as much coffee as you want. We will refill it. We will bring it. We're not going to charge for the coffee in the foyer. You can take that as my guarantee. I don't know. Just, I want to answer these questions, all right? These are deep spiritual questions. All right, next one. Why does the women's bathroom have nicer decorations than the men's? So the first question I have is who is able to inform themselves enough to ask this question? Like, who's peeping into both bathrooms? Maybe it's a couple, right? They're comparing notes about what you have in yours, what you have. I don't know. You want the answer to this? The women decorated their own bathroom, all right? That's why they have nicer. So if you don't like it, you can just deal with it. As far as I'll go there on Easter. Let's go to the next one. Can we just have some Diet Coke for the At the Movie series? You asked this question last Easter, right? Last Easter 2018. And you'll notice last November during At the Movies, Diet Coke, everybody, all right? So we listen. We listen to your deep spiritual questions. And you got Diet Coke. All right, here's my absolute favorite from last year. Is the world ending in 2018? And I would like to answer that question right now, all right? I would like to answer this question. No, the world is not ending in 2018. I speak with authority, okay, everybody? The world did not end last year. That is my favorite question. So we won't even have to preach a whole sermon on it, right? The world didn't end last year. So there you go. But a lot of end time questions that come on these, and we do those. So I thought I would segue from that. I thought I would segue into our message today. Because you guys do ask a lot of end time things, I thought I'd segue to this message about Jesus raising from the dead for the verse out of Revelation. All right, so we're going to the book of Revelation. I'll kind of set it up for you. And that is the disciple of Jesus, John. He's persecuted for his faith, like a lot of the disciples. And so most of them died horrific deaths because of punishment for following Jesus. Well, John dies because of the punishment, but it's not horrific in the way that John dies. He's actually put into exile on the island of Patmos. And so he's put into exile on this island, and he's there on the Lord's Day, and Jesus appears to John in his resurrected body. And so he doesn't look like he looked when he was walking the earth. And so it says that he has eyes like fire and hair like wool and a sword coming out of his mouth. And so it's a little different. And so John, we pick it up in Revelation. It says, when John saw him, you'll see, you might react like this. It says, when I saw him like this in his resurrected body, I fell at his feet as dead, so he passed out, all right? And we know that he came back too, because there's another verse. And he says, but Jesus laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. And I read some kind of humor in there sometimes. You got to read humor into your Bible, because it's God walking through walls, sword coming out of his mouth, and he's like, do not be afraid, right? Do not be, like, it's easy for you to say, you know, the angels do this all the time. They just pop in and scare people, and they're like, fear not. And it's like, I think that they're laughing. I really do when they say this. Don't be afraid, John. Ha ha. And so then he says, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the first and the last. And then verse 18 says, I am he who lives. So I am the first and the last. He's saying, I was there at the beginning and I'm going to be there at the end. God, let me just let you in on a little something. God began it all and God will finish it. And when he does, you want to be on the right side, all right, everybody? You just do. You just want to be on that. That's just free. That's a free message this morning, all right? He said, but then he goes on, Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead. The way I like to say it is, our God was dead. All other gods are dead, all right, everybody? Amen. I'll amen myself if you want to amen. Come on, people. It's Easter, all right? And I'll tell you why I'll amen myself. Watch what Jesus said. He said, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And watch what Jesus does. He amens himself. Amen, everybody. All right, so there is scriptural precedence for amen. And so I don't care if you amen me this morning or not. I'm going to amen myself right now. I can get happy about it all on my own. But he says the next line, he says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. And I want you to listen to this line. I want you to listen to this verse and not just get it in your ears, but get it in your heart. Not just hear this verse, but get it in your heart when Jesus is saying, because he's not saying that I went to the cross and I was at the grave and I was resurrected just so you could have a holiday and celebrate what happened in me every year. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and death. And so Jesus is saying, I went to the cross, not just to conquer death in my own life, but so that I could take the keys of hell and death forever. He's saying, I didn't do it just so I could conquer it in my own life, and you guys could just celebrate it. Way to go, Jesus. That's great. He said, no, I took the keys, and keys unlock things. He said, I hold the keys of everything in your life that you would sell, that you would say is hell. And the keys of everything in your life that you would say, this is death. And Jesus said, I went to the grave and I resurrected. I went to the cross and I died and I resurrected so that you could have life. And I took the keys of Hades and I took the keys of death so that you can experience a resurrection for yourself. So the best way to celebrate Easter is not just to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, but to celebrate a resurrection in your own life. Not just to celebrate that he took the keys of everything in your life that you say, this is hell that I'm walking through. And this is death that is occurring in my life. And Jesus said, I took those keys, and he holds those keys. So the question I want you to grapple with this morning with me is that is, what is in your life that is dead or dying? The question I want you to grapple with just for a few minutes this morning, what is in your life that is dead or dying? And you say, well, I'm not dead. I'm sitting here. I'm breathing air. No, I'm not talking about a physical death. And let me say it this way. I have known many people who are dead, who I went to their funeral. I went to the family and friends. And I know many people who are dead who are very alive today in the presence of God. And I know many people who are very alive, who are very dead in their life. Many people who are walking around this earth, very alive, breathing, but they are dead in their lives. It's a walking type of death. And so there is an area of your life, and my personal belief is we all have a potential area at least. So this is what you are currently facing. This is that issue that you are currently walking through. This is that thing that seems too big for you, too big for your life. This thing, this part about you that just doesn't seem to be working. It just seems to either be dead or dying. This part of your life. And so there's death in our lives. And so I want to give you three of those this morning. There are a whole bunch, but I want to give you three. Areas of your life where you are dead or dying. And the first one would be an emotional death. And an emotional death is for those who are under so much pressure. And we say that kind of like lively. We say that like it's an easy thing. Those who are under so much pressure that it feels like they're dying. Those who are under so much stress in their life that they're alive physically, but their emotions have been disrupted. They've been frayed. They're dis-ease. They're not at ease anymore. The stress is choking the life out of them. And in their emotions, they're dying. It's an emotional death. And you have some kind of pressure and you're distraught. You've been through a financial crisis or you've been through an emotional crisis or whatever it is. And you're trying your best to smile and put on the front, not just at church, but you're trying to put on the front for your family, to give them security, to try to tell them, well, it's going to be okay. Try to put on that smile when deep inside, you know that it's death and you know it probably won't be okay. And you have that thing. And I've been praying for the last, I don't know who this is for, but I've been praying for the last 2 days. For a man or a woman that you've been going through this financial stress, where you're trying to smile for your family. You're trying to smile for those. You're trying to give them that sense of security, that sense of everything is okay. And you keep thinking in your mind, I don't know if it's okay. I don't know if it's okay. And you're experiencing that death. The second kind of death that people experience is relational death. Meaning that something has gone awry in a relationship. You've lost a relationship. Maybe it was through a physical death. Maybe you lost a relationship and you're grieving from that. Or maybe you walk through a divorce and you're still experiencing, it might have been years ago, but you're still experiencing the effects of that. And you've had a relational death. You're picking up the pieces from it. Or maybe you went on the outs with a brother or a sister or a parent or whatever it is that you had that cut off that relationship. And you're experiencing a relational death, a death in your relationships. And anybody who's ever experienced a relational death, you know the pain that comes from that. You know, most times it's more than physical pain. It's horrific, the pain that comes from a relational death. It's horrible. And then there's a third kind that I, as a pastor, may be a little more sensitive to seeing in people, and that is a spiritual death. Where you're alive and you're breathing, but the spirit is dying inside of you. You're breathing air, but you feel separated from God. And maybe you were close, but now when you try to pray, if you even try to pray, it feels like God is a million miles away from you. And it's just about going through the traditions now, going through the motions. There is no life there. And you say, well, God, I don't even know God. I've never even experienced God. And so you may call yourself a Christian and you may go through the motions and you may do everything else. And you may put on a good front for people, but there is death there. There's something dead or dying. Or maybe you have bad church experiences where what you've experienced maybe in church has left you a cynic, or you think, I don't know if I even believe that anymore. And there's a spiritual death that's going on. There's a spiritual death. And this is probably the most critical of all, because it's the spirit part of you that will live forever. And so this is the death that will cost you the most. This is the death that will cost you the most. This is where the pain will be the most. It is the death. And so here's the message as it relates back to Revelation chapter 1. And so I want to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And I want to take a time out right there and say that it's saying that the energy and the power that it took to get Jesus back out of that grave is available to live in you. The power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead, he's saying, is now available to live in you. And it says, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to everything in your life that is dead or dying, to your mortal bodies, because of his spirit who lives in you. So that's what Easter is all about. It's not about where we just say, hey, well done, Jesus, well done. No, no, the same spirit that was present 2,000 years ago is available to live inside of you to bring back to life what's dead and dying in your life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available to live inside of you. Let me show it to you out of the message, which is a paraphrase, all right? Let's read it. It says, it stands to reason, same verse. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Well, Jesus got up so you can get up again. Jesus got up so you can live again. Your emotions can live again. Your finances can live again. Your relationships can live again. The same power, he says, if the same God moves in your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you to life. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling the truth this morning, all right, everybody? And he says, bringing you to life. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that, watch these two words, you are delivered from that dead life. It's like an oxymoron here, right? These two words, the dead life, like jumbo shrimp. It's like two, right, things just, you think, well, what is it? Is it dead or is it alive? That's the point here. It's this dead life. People walking around that are, it's like a dead living. It's living dead. It's just walking around where you're not really living. You're not really, it's this time. That's what he's saying. He'll deliver you from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So with his spirit living in you, and that's going to be available to you today, that resurrection. That resurrection. That you're dead, but you can become alive. As you may experience death in that. And so I'm dedicating this message to every person who feels dead in their life. Every person who's experiencing a death in their life. Every person who says that area of my life is dead. I don't think it can ever come back to life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can live inside of you. It can live inside of you. So it can be as alive as that. Let me show you one more verse in John chapter 14. This was the night before Jesus was on the cross. All right, this would be the Thursday before the Good Friday, before he goes. So this is the communion night. This is the Lord's Supper night. This is the foot washing night. This is what Jesus was talking about. And he says, before long, the world will not see me, right? Because he's going to die. But you will see me because I'm going to rise, he says. And then watch this next verse. I want you to get this inside of you. He says, because I live, you also will live. And so he said that to us. He said, because I live, you also will live. And I just want to say that to you this morning, this Easter Sunday. Because he lives, you can also live. Because he lives, you don't have to be dying anymore. Because he lives, you don't have to be lonely anymore. Because he lives, your dreams can come back to life again. Because he lives, everything that is inside of you, that is dead or dying, can come back to life if you want it. Because he lives. Man, that is his promise to us. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, because I live, you can also live. Now, one of the things I don't like about some kinds of preaching is that it's very inspirational, but then you sit back and say, well, you didn't tell me how to do it. Well, that really inspired me and I feel really good, but you didn't tell me how it happens. And so this morning, I want to go through the steps because I see this process in people's lives that God takes them through. These steps that God takes them through to redemption where God frees people and God restores people. And God brings things back to life. And we have arranged our whole church around this process. And so I just want to kind of introduce it to you this morning. The first one is there is a search going on. And there is a search going on. And let me say it this way. It's not your search for him. A lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people think, well, God is just over there, right? God is just sitting on this side and he's just kind of high and mighty and aloof over here. And well, we're just down here kind of struggling and whatever it is. And God says, well, if you could just clean up a little bit and come crawling to me on your hands and your knees, kind of in your misery and in your sickness, and kind of wash yourself off a little bit. Well, maybe I might give you a little chance. And God is just a little bit mad at us over there. It's not how it is at all. People have this misconception of God. Like we have a bad view of God. It's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says when we fall into sin and shame, it's us that runs and hides, and God goes on a search to look for us. The Bible says that God is looking for us. And the way that he looks for us, here's how he does it. He will mess with you. He will mess with you. Some of you, he's been messing with you this week in preparation for the service. He just messes with you. Some of you, he's been messing with you for a few years now. And those of you who know, it's happening to, you know that it's happening to you because you can just, God is just saying, here I am. Here I am. And you've been hiding and you've been thinking, and God has gone on a search and he'll just mess with you. He says, here I am. Jesus even said, you didn't choose me. Jesus said, I chose you. He said, I was looking for you and God loves you. Isn't it amazing? Even in your condition, God loves you. And he wants you. He wants you. He's going on a search for you. In fact, the very first story of the Bible, Adam and Eve, of course, you know, they fell into sin. And they go and they're in their sin and they're hiding and they're shameful. And And God is looking for them. In fact, I heard this story about a pastor who did visitation when people would visit his church. We don't do that anymore. But it used to be that when someone would visit a church, that afternoon the pastor would show up at their house to thank them for coming. We don't do that because we figured out people don't like it. All right, everybody? We just figured out that it kind of the first time you go to a church and the pastor shows up. So I'm not showing up at your house today, all right, if you're visiting. I'm not knocking on your door. But they used to do this, okay? Used to be back before 700 channels. We had nothing to do. They enjoyed this, all right? That was kind of a fun thing that people would do. And so this pastor would visit these people who would visit and thank them for coming. And so this lady had visited his church that Sunday morning. And so the pastor went out that afternoon to visit. And so he walked up to the door and knocked, right? And there was no answer at the door. And so the cute little thing that he liked to do is he would take his business card and he would kind of wedge it into the door. And he'd write a verse on the back, a verse out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20. And here's what it says. It said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." He thought it was kind of cute. He did. "And if anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they will eat with me." All right. So he just a little cute thing. He thought it was kind of funny. So he went back. Well, the next Sunday, that little card that he put was back in the offering plate. And the usher brought it to him and she had written a verse on the back and it was Genesis 3:10 and he didn't know what it was. Right. So he got his Bible open and he read it. It said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." I don't care what you say. That's funny, all right? That's funny on Easter. She outcuted him, right? That's funny. That's funny on Easter Sunday. But there's actually spiritual truth in that little verse. Because a lot of times when we're in our sin and our shame, we run and hide. That's what's going to happen. Well, guess what? You can't run and hide because your spirit is looking for you. Your spirit is searching for you. Now, what does he do when he finds you? That's another misconception that people have about God. And I love dispelling misconceptions about God. Because most people think that God requires you to get your act together. And then maybe you and he can be friends again. And he requires you to do all these things. That's not what happens. The second thing that the Lord will do, he will search for you and then he will rescue you. So that's the second thing that he does in this process. He will rescue you. He wants to get you out of there. He wants to take you mess and all. And check it out, he loves you mess and all. He loves you, even where you are. He loves you. He's searching for you, and he wants to rescue you. He wants to pull you out. Some people think you have to get your act together to get to God. No, you got to get to God so you can get your act together. It's the other way around. God loves you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you. And I love that. I love the fact that God sees the awful, sinful, corroded mess, and he says, "I love you, and I want to rescue you." He wants something that nobody else wants. God goes to the junk and he goes to the heap and he goes to the dump and he finds things that nobody else wants and he says, "I want this. I love this. I love you." He sees those things and he says, and he puts value on it. That's the best way that I can put it. God puts value on what other people don't put value on. That God loves you. And Jesus sees the thing that nobody else values, because you can't rescue what you don't value. You can't redeem what you don't value. And so Jesus puts value and he says, "I want to rescue you." And by the way, some of you need rescuing. You don't need to necessarily join a church yet. You don't need to get more religious. You just need to get out of darkness. Some of you are so tired of the dead and the dying that is going on in your life, and you need rescuing. And so Jesus said, he's coming to search for you, and then he wants to rescue you. And I'm going to offer that rescue plan at the end of the service today. I want to show it to you. Third thing he does after he's searched for you and he's rescued, third thing he does is he restores you. And this is not something that can happen all at once today. This is something that happens as a process. Because he can search for you, he can rescue you, and then he starts to restore you. And that means layer by layer, he starts to knock that stuff off of you. He starts to knock whatever it is off of you. Jesus gives you that power. He starts to clean you off. He starts working on it, starts making something that's valuable again. Because Jesus sees that potential in you. And honestly, a lot of people never experience restoration. A lot of people never experience. And the ones that do are the ones who are honest enough to say, "Yeah, I've got some problems. Yeah, I've got some issues. Yeah, I've got some things that I'm walking through." And we don't act like... One of the things that frustrates me the most is when we just act like everything is okay when it's not okay. And we say, "Yeah, I got it all. We got it all going on. Yeah, no, we're fine. We're just doing great. We're doing great." And the house is like on fire behind you, like a Denzel Washington movie, right? Just like going, and you're like, no, we're fine. Everything is good. No, don't look back there. Don't look, we just put on that face. I can't stand it. I love being part of a church where we can say, "Okay, yeah, I've got some issues." Because I've got truth for you this morning on Easter 2019. You have some issues. I've got some issues, all right? All of God's children have issues. And if you think you don't have issues, that's your issue, all right, everybody? That's your... If you think you got nothing, right? It's okay to act Honestly, it's okay to show, because let me just tell you, we all have a few screws loose. We all have a few hang-ups. All the wives say amen this morning, right? We have a few hang-ups, and we have to be in a place where we can be honest and say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with, so that Jesus can rescue, he can save, and he can restore you. So we can have this chance to come together. So I would encourage you, if you don't have a church home, I would encourage you to come be a part of this, where we can be honest with each other, and we can walk through this path of restoration together. That's the only way we get on the step to restoration. And the last thing that he does, and this is the one I'm most passionate about, I love this word, is that is, he will redeem you. He doesn't only search, he doesn't only rescue, he doesn't only restore. It says he will redeem you. You may not know what that word means. What that means is, he will take the thing that was broken or was lost. He will take the thing that was corroded, that was in the mess. He will take the thing that he is restoring, and he will give it new life again, where it can become valuable again, and it can fulfill its purpose. He will take that thing. Like, can the trash have redemptive value again? It absolutely can. Can what was found in the rubbish, can it, what was pulled out of the mess, can it have a use and a purpose again? It absolutely can. And somebody needs to hear that this morning. That you may feel like you're too far. You may feel like you've done too much. You may feel like God has a purpose for you and he loves you and he can redeem you. He can take what nobody else loves. He can take what nobody else wanted and he can redeem it for his purpose. He can redeem your life from the pit. He can redeem you for his purpose. And the best part of Christianity to me is not the fact, it's not just the fact that he can search for us. It's not just the fact that he can rescue us. It's not just the fact that he can restore us. It's not just the fact that he can clean us off. It's that he can take what is dead and dying in your life and he can redeem it. And he can turn it back into glorious living again. A life of redemption, a life that matters, a life with purpose. He can bring that back. So I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know in what condition you find yourself today. I don't know if you think you've gone too far. There's a beautiful story in the book of John. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is after Peter has denied Christ three times. And then he's gone back to fishing after Christ died. He's gone back to fishing. And Peter is one of the most tragic stories there in the Bible, because he was one of the top disciples. He felt like a lot of the responsibility was on him, and it was going to be. And then he denies Christ. And so he goes back fishing. And he feels like he's kind of lost his dream there. He's not gonna have the church built on him. He's not gonna have anything else. He's not gonna start things and get people saved. And so he goes back, and so Christ is risen from the dead, and he comes and finds the disciples there. And you can just imagine the shame that Peter is experiencing. And I don't know if some of you were close to God at one time and you were doing things for the kingdom at one time, and you say, well, I've fallen away, and there's no way God can redeem me again. There's no way he can bring me back. And Jesus looks at Peter. And he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And you can feel the shame in Peter's voice that Jesus has to ask him that. He says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asked him again, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? I love you. And then this story, Jesus looks at him and he says the same words that he said to Peter the first time he met him. He says, follow me. And he recalls Peter. He redeems Peter. And you read a little bit further in the gospel than into Acts. At the day of Pentecost, it's Peter who stands up and thousands are saved. You read in the New Testament, it's Peter who starts his witness. It's Peter who goes to Cornelius. It's Peter who does all these things because God redeems him. God brings him back. He recalls him. And so I don't know where you find yourself today, what condition that you're in, but God deeply, deeply loves you. And you're never too far for him to redeem you. You're never too far to start again. You're never too far to be who you could have been. God has a purpose for your life, and he wants to redeem you. He wants to redeem you. I want to close with a final verse today, and it's a prayer that I'm praying over you. It's out of the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and it goes like this, and I don't just hear it, but get it into your heart today. Because I'm praying this over you. He says, I pray, and I do pray, that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. Like this morning, this isn't just a service with a bunch of traditional this. Like, he can help you. The power of Jesus can help you today. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you've done. The power of Jesus can help you today. That same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. It's available to live in you. That he holds the keys that can unlock what is dead or dying in your life. That he holds the keys that can unlock those areas in your life that you feel like are hell and are death. He holds the keys of life. And he can redeem your life.
He holds the key. So here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to go back to my survey one more time. So everybody, I'm begging you this morning, everybody pull this out. Everybody, all right? My staff, the dream team, everybody, just go ahead and pull this back out this morning. Pull it back out, and we're going to go to the bottom. I know we're filling out stuff, but this is a reverent moment. This is a reverent moment. So if you would pull that back out, we're going to go to the bottom. There's A, B, C, or D. This is the final survey, and we just call this a spiritual survey. We just call this the spiritual survey, and each of these boxes represents, let me say it this way, you are one of these boxes. You are. Absolutely, you are one of these boxes. So let me explain what they are, then you pick the one that fits you. The first one, A, it says, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. So that is, I already have that relationship. I already know God. I already have experienced His presence. I already follow Jesus. I'm already all in. I believe in Him. I'm already all in. I have that relationship with Him. I know that I know that I know that I am saved. That's what box A is. It would stand for. B goes in a little different direction. It says, I'm ready to begin a real relationship with Jesus. If you say, I want that. I want to be rescued. I want to be restored. I want to be redeemed. And for some of you, this one represents, I want to begin again. Because you were close to God at one time. And now you say, well, when I pray, and even the times that I do pray, God just feels a million miles away from me. Some of you say, this day, today, I want to have a real relationship. I want to begin again. Some of you say, well, I had it, but if I'm honest with myself, I've taken back the reins of my life. I've taken back control. I'm not living according to His purpose. I'm living according to mine. So that's what B would represent. You say, I'm ready. I'm ready to either start a new life with Jesus, or I want to begin again. I want to rededicate my life. And I can't think of a better Sunday than Easter 2019 to make that decision. That's box B. Box C said, I'd like to consider it a bit more first. I'm not quite there yet. And I want to take this opportunity just to speak to you. If you're in that place and you're saying, I just want to consider it a little bit more, because I love that church is not for church people. I don't believe that church should be for church people. I think that church should be a place where people can come who don't agree with what we're saying, don't agree with what we believe, who don't have to give, they don't have to serve, but they can just come and say, can I just figure it out? And I want to say something to you. You are very welcome here. If you say, I need time to figure this out, I just want to tell you, you are welcome here. We want to explain it to you. We want to present it to you, but I want to give you a chance to make your decision. And you can take your time and say, I just want to consider what God has to offer me through His Son, Jesus Christ. We do everything we can to lift Jesus high, but I want you to know that you can come. And I'm not asking anything of you. You can come and just experience the presence of God and make your decision. That's what box C is. And then choice D is a little bit further, and that is, I don't ever intend on making that decision. And you say, well, why? Why would you want to know that? Because I want you to have the guts to come to grips with the fact that that's where you think you are. And I'm going to pray for you whether you like it or not. In fact, we had two people last year mark this box. And I respect that they would have the guts to mark that box. But I've been praying for them all year that God would bring them back. And that God would begin to work on them. And we've been praying for them because we know that God works in those ways. We know that God seeks and saves. We know that God works like that. I pray that God would begin. So if that's you and you mark that, know that we're praying for you, whether you like it or not. We're praying for you. And would you just work on that card right now, just for a moment. Just work on that card just for a moment. And then when you're finished, bow your heads. And when you bow your heads, it'll let me know that you're finished. I just want to pray. Just want to pray over you. Father, I pray right now. God, for people right now that you know who they are, God. That they can feel, God, as they begin to fill out the cards, they can feel their life hanging in the balance, Lord, as they make this decision. God, I pray that you would give them confidence to put their whole faith, their lives in Jesus' hands. And Lord, I ask that you move in this place, God. We don't want to take a step without your presence. That you begin to speak to hearts. God, that you begin to speak to lives. And over these next few minutes, Father, that you begin to move in this place. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. And we thank you that that same power is available to us today, Lord. To rescue us. To restore us. To redeem us. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that was you this morning, if you marked B, or if you say in your heart, I want to begin that relationship with Jesus. If you say, I want to have that, or I want to begin again, I just want to pray with you. I'm not asking you to come to the front. I'm not asking you to stand up. I'm not looking to embarrass you. I just want to connect you with Jesus. And so that was you this morning. If you marked B, you say, I want to begin that. I'm going to invite everybody in this room, everybody in the congregation, to pray alongside of you as a sign of support. We just want to pray that prayer. And you say it, I can give you the words. You've got to mean it with your heart and say it with your mouth. But come on, church, let's pray with them. If that's you, let's pray this prayer this morning. Come on, church, let's say it with them. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving your life for me. Today I receive the hope that you have to offer. Forgive me for living my life my way. Come live inside of me. Change me. Make me who you want me to be. Say this today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. It's in your name I pray. God, I thank you for every person today that took that step. And Lord, I pray for this church. God, that on this Resurrection Sunday, we would celebrate that you hold the keys of hell and death. That we would celebrate that you are life, and that you are life who lives in us. And that in you alone, Jesus, we can experience a resurrection life again. That you can take what is dead and dying and bring it back to life. Jesus, I pray today that we celebrate your victory. That we celebrate your victory on the cross. And because you live, we can live. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because you live, we can be restored. Because you live, we can be redeemed. And so, Lord, I pray just a prayer of victory. And we thank you for what you did and what you're going to do in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Can we stand up together this morning, this Easter Sunday? Can we celebrate what God has done today, this morning, in those lives? Come on, let's worship together. We're going to end this Easter Sunday just praising and worshiping our risen King. Come on, let's sing together.